The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio, and we are transitioning into the Lotus Place. I believe Sister Black Rose will not be hosting tonight, and that she does have some other regular panelists that are always on the program. They will be carrying on the program. I think we have Sister Delta. Do we have you on the line? Hello, Sister Delta. Okay, maybe that's not her. All right, I don't see anyone else that is scheduled to be on the program, so I don't know what to tell you. They're not here, so we may end up having to... Okay, wait a minute, Sister Delta, I'm sorry. I got you muted, my bad. All right, there you go. I'm sorry. Greetings.
Yeah, I was trying to get in.
I'm sorry.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing as well as can be expected under the conditions of terrorism that we live, so.
I know. I'm looking great. I'm looking forward to host the show tonight. And we would like for all our viewers to call in. And let me give out the call number. The call, whatever you want to talk about tonight. Whatever's on your mind, because I know we have been through so much in hell through the week. So much is going on. We got plenty of stories we can talk about tonight. So please call in at 641-715-3660. And the code is 549-0-932 and hit pound.
Let me get that for you. I know you're not used to saying it. Let me get that again for you. It's also written for you on the program description on blacktalkradionetwork.com, but the phone number is 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. Once you're dialed in, we already got some people dialed in, but anytime you want to ask a question or make a comment, hit *6 and 1, and I will alert the host and bring you in. So there you go.
Yes. Well, you know what? We got plenty we can talk about. Now, this is one of the topics we're going to talk about right now. You know, Dale, I went to bed last night, woke up this morning, there was another shooting today at another college. And, you know, and everybody's saying, like, let's take the guns away or let's pass some kind of legislation to get the guns out the hands of criminals. But that's going to be kind of hard to do. Because, and the reason I say that, I thought about that thing. Every time there is something going on, we want to run and pass laws. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm for law. But the young man with the last shooting, where the other people were shot last month and was killed, we got to realize this boy had a mental problem. But yet, the boy did not purchase one gun. His mother purchased all 13 of those guns for her son because she said her son was fascinated with the guns, and she bought these guns. So now this other boy tonight, him and his friends gets into an argument. They said an argument pursued. He pulls a gun on the college campus where they was off the campus at a apartment. You know, it was on the dorm. But he killed someone last night and shoot three other people. So what more laws gonna pass now? What are we gonna, if we gonna pass laws, they still can get around it. What can we do? I don't really see how we're gonna fix this loophole. How are we gonna fix it? That's what I wanna talk about tonight too. How are we gonna fix this loophole law when you got a stupid mother? I just gotta call it like I see it. When you know your son had a mental problem and you're gonna go and purchase all these guns for your son, that tells me you have the problem. And so that's one of our topics we'll be talking about tonight. Now let me go on to the other topics I want to talk about. I'm going to just give us all our topics for tonight, and we can, if you want to talk about them, you just beam in, and our hostess, Scotty, will let you in. Okay, they have another one tonight. Well, this young man, the father went off to work, and he said he talked to his wife every night. And this particular night, he could not get his wife. He had been trying for 2 or 3 days. So the husband sent the police over to the house to see what was going on, to do a wellness check. When the police got there, the door was open. The police went in. He said it was the most awful sight he ever seen. This young black man, I think he's around about 25 or 30, took a hammer, beat his mother to death, then took a knife and split his mother's chest wide open, took her heart out, and had her heart, I guess, walking around with it. Then they say he took her heart and put it back in her chest again. And he said he beat his mother to death and killed her because she was screaming and hollering and fussing at him. Then he takes, after his mother is dead, he takes and masturbates himself over his dead mother's body. What kind of psycho would do that? Those are some of our topics. Then we have another topic where this young black girl, she was 30, worked at a daycare, and I think this one was in Ohio, and she was one of the workers. She took one of the little girls out of the daycare, which was 5 years old, and pretended and wrapped up and pretended like and made herself look pregnant. The baby mother was a Muslim, and the mother has a face and head wrapped so you can't see nothing but her eyes. This girl came in, this black girl disguised this look, and took this baby out of the daycare pretending that she was the mother. Took this little child home and tortured her all night long. Sexually tortured her all type of horrible ways that this young lady did this. And then she turned around. They said she did so much of horrible stuff to her, they can't even, they was really surprised the baby lived through it. But then we turned around. There was another one. We turned around. This same lady that took the baby out of the daycare, she turns around, and she had been molested as a child. So they saying everything that she did to this child had happened to her when she was coming up. Then right here where I live, then we have another young lady here, is, and I think she was 20 or 23. She gets mad with her baby's father, and her baby's father was having an argument in the apart. Instead of, she took her anger out because she was mad with the father and stabbed the baby 3 times. And the baby's in critical condition. And they had to life flight the baby to the hospital. And those are some of our hot topics. Then we have our main subject we want to talk about. You know, we always talk about love and different things. I want to ask a question, and I want people to call in. And let's see if we can answer this question. Why do women love deadbeat men that don't have a job, not going anywhere, don't see themselves going anywhere? Why do women want deadbeat men instead of a decent man that has a job, who want to have something, but they choose not to be with that kind? They want the one that's rough and tough, the deadbeat that's not going anywhere. Why do women want a man that won't work? Why do they want those kind of men? And those are some of the things we want to talk about. Now, if anybody got a question on that, just punch your line and Scotty will let you in and we can talk about it. Now, Scotty, do you have anything on any of those subjects?
On the gun control, to me, I look at the debate, the political debate around gun control as being the same as abortion. Ain't nothing new happening. And they just pull those issues out to energize people whenever there's an election to come out and make them think that, oh, we're going to be able to outlaw abortion. Oh, we're going to be able to get strict gun control. And nothing ever comes of it. It's like just a hot button issue that they can rile up, you know, certain parts of the base, and they really don't have any intentions of doing anything because, you know, in terms of abortions, that's pretty much settled law. That's pretty much settled law. The Supreme Court has ruled on that. So that's the law of the land. And so you can huff and puff and march and say whatever you want to say. Ain't nothing moving, that ain't happening. And then on the gun control, look, the Supreme Court has already ruled on that. All right. And so, I mean, when you already got millions, I think I heard somebody say something like, you know, there's 8 guns for every American out there on the streets. Well, how you gonna get control of all them guns? You're not. You ain't gonna get control of all them guns. And anytime someone has outlawed something, guess what? There has always been the street market that will supply whatever it is you want. So you're never gonna keep guns out of the hands of people. And so I just look at that as, you know, every time there's a shooting, and unfortunately there have been many so-called high-profile shootings since Oregon, then you got Arizona, now I'm reading about another one in Texas on campus. All 3 of these were on school campuses. And so, I mean, if they could have figured out a way to put a stop to it, they would have put a stop to it. I don't know. I just see those type of issues as being.
But I don't think they want to put a stop to it.
I don't think they do either. I don't think they want to do it either. But I'm saying, though.
But I think. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, though, you know, I don't think the guns kill people. People kill people. And irresponsible people enable that type of action. Now, do I believe that there needs to close the loopholes so that, you know, when these dealers be at what they call, I would call them a yard sale or a flea market or something like that, these gun shows and stuff, and they're not required to get the ID of persons who are making large purchases of weapons? I mean, not like one or two, they're buying like a dozen or 2 dozen weapons, and there's no background check required on people buying 2,000.
The mother yeah. Should have been. They said that they cannot arrest this mother. If this mother knew that her son had a mental illness, she knows this because they said she sheltered him he joined the army and couldn't last in the army for 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother knew he had a mental illness. Why would you purchase your son 13 guns? So that tells me the mother is not too bright.
Well, yeah.
That tells me too. Something is wrong.
Yeah. Now, I do think that, okay, for example, I think that people who do not secure their weapons in their homes, and somebody like your son, even though this is different because she bought them for him. It ain't like he snuck in the house and he went in her room in the closet and got the rifle or whatnot. No, she bought them. But I'm just saying, for people that don't properly secure these weapons, your child ends up getting a weapon, kills themselves or kills somebody else. You should be criminally responsible for that. You know, I don't think that you should be charged with murder, but I think you should be charged with involuntary manslaughter. Because of your negligence, people have lost their lives. And so therefore, you gotta be held accountable for that. In this woman's case, you knew you had a mentally ill son, and not only did you have unsecured weapons, but you bought weapons for him, and now he has killed someone, and you are accountable for that.
Yes, because I heard that she could not be held criminal liability for him, but she could be held financially.
Yeah, and people so start suing. Maybe that's what the family.
But she don't have anything. She's living in an apartment.
Yeah, that's true. She don't have anything. So then there goes, I guess, the argument that some people say you should have to have insurance if you're going to own a weapon. You know, just like you have insurance for your car. Just like you have insurance for your home. But I would imagine, you know, if she owned a home, that would be covered under the homeowner's insurance. Don't quote me on that. But I do think that does make sense. I would be skeptical about it. But because I'm telling you, I don't trust the government. And I'm looking, we living under conditions of police terrorism. And, you know, I don't think that being unarmed in such place is a good idea. But I do understand a lot of innocent people are being killed due to the negligence of others. So, you know, there are some common sense things that maybe we should start doing and requiring, like, you know, people having insurance, you know, in case something happens like that, then the families can be compensated that are affected through your negligence.
Okay. Do we have anybody on the line? Because I can't see.
No.
Do we have anybody in the queue?
No. We have a caller who has called in and been listening since the last program, but there are no other callers at this time. We do have people tuning in to the stream, though. But if anyone okay. wants to comment or ask a question, once you're dialed in, just hit star 61.
Oh, okay. And then, let's go to these women that want to date men. I cannot understand how a woman that's successful, and we have successful women who like men, are no good. Not going anywhere, ain't trying to go nowhere, ain't trying to do nothing, don't have no job. And I want to know, what do you see into someone like that? Why would you want someone who don't have a job and who ain't trying to go nowhere? You know what? This young lady was talking to me the other day, and I was trying to give her some good advice, and she was telling me that she was in love with this boy. This young man, I call him a boy, this young man, he was 31, and she had five kids of her own. And she told me that she was in love with him. But this man don't have no job, ain't trying to get no job, ain't trying to do nothing. This young lady works, has a pretty good, decent job. Why would you want someone like that when you have five kids of your own and knowing this man don't have a job and nothing to offer you. Why would you suffer for someone like that?
Well, I don't know a whole lot of men that would be willing to walk into a situation where a woman got five kids already. That may play into it. Maybe, you know, when they see them five kids, that they don't come back. And so maybe she holding on to this guy because he accepts her kids. Does that make any sense?
You know what? Me personally, I just, you know what, I have three sons, and I may be wrong for saying this, but this is what the show is about. We voice our own opinion,
right,
and we speak the truth, and this is my truth, and this is my opinion, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but this is just my opinion. I cannot see my son with someone with five kids. It's just hard for me to see that. And a lot of people may get offended, and like I said, I don't mean to offend anyone. And to me, my mind is just, you know, how they say you got a bug of mind, is when a girl have one baby, and people say I'm always cruel and harsh on this. You have one baby, and you continue to have more and more. I can understand maybe, you know, one mistake. Now, don't get me wrong. And really, you don't even have to have one mistake, because there's too much stuff you can use now. And people get offended when you say that, oh, they shouldn't use stuff, they shouldn't do this. But just a young lady, a decent young lady with all these babies, it just don't make any sense. And I don't see what man in their right mind would want to take on this responsibility. You got to be madly, madly in love. But yet, this man doesn't have a job. So why would you want to take on someone with five babies of your own? Then you got to bring in another mouth that you got to feed, that he's not doing anything for you.
Who's watching the kids?
To offer you.
Who's watching the kids when she's at work?
I guess the man.
So that's what I'm saying. It could be possible that there is a non-traditional role reversal going on here, and he's the stay-at-home, quote-unquote, surrogate dad or something. I don't know. I can't answer. Have you ever asked her? Or she's, you know, not approachable on that?
No, I never asked her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next time I see her and she bring it up, I'm
going
to ask her. Because to me, it just don't make any sense. It just don't make any sense. And I don't mean to offend anyone. And I just don't understand. And I'm talking, you know, in my community, we got to learn to not to just continue to lay up and have babies in our community. And people get so offended when I say that. Everybody say I'm harsh. But no, I'm from the old school. My father taught me that that just something you just don't do. And a lot of people gloat for this, you know, when their kids have babies and continue to have babies. Some people don't even see nothing wrong with it.
Well, you mean they celebrate?
And yeah, like they celebrate it. And we was taught you don't celebrate it. We was taught that it's a disgrace and it's a shame. You just don't do that. That's the way I was taught.
Mm-hmm.
My father and mother taught me you just didn't do that.
Let me
you
ask
don't
you
bring
this.
Shame to the family.
Let me ask you this. When you were coming up during that time in your mother and father's household, was the media, meaning television and even the music and just the, what they call it, pop culture, it was a lot different then, wasn't it? What was all of this foolishness being promoted?
No, we didn't. Now, you know what? Now, I got to be honest. We didn't. We had one TV in the house. And my father we couldn't just go in and just watch TV how the kids watch TV today. You couldn't do that. I remember we got to watch one thing, and that was it was called The Big Show. And you got it came on every day at 3 o'clock or 3:30. I can't remember, but it's one of those times, 3 or 3:30. And you got to watch that before Daddy come home. But that's the only thing you can watch. When Daddy come in, everything better be done. It's nothing that not in the house needed to be done, not been tend to, or you was in a world of trouble. And my daddy watched baseball, and whatever Daddy put the TV on at that time, you had to watch what Daddy watched, or you didn't watch anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we wasn't allowed to just sit up and just watch TV and stuff all the time. We wasn't allowed to do that.
But what I'm saying, what was on television back then? Did you have like the Real Housewives and the Basketball Wives?
Oh,
and the,
no.
And the booty
no,
shaking.
We didn't
have
none of that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's a different time period now, and the youth morals are being corrupted.
Yeah, but you're right.
But I'm not, that's not an excuse, though. That's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse because where the parents at? We got a lot of parents. And my biggest thing is we got too many babies, teenage mothers, who really hadn't been able to raise themselves because, mm-hmm. well, and two, let me back up, Scotty, because I just thought about something. It just hit me, too. My mother was in the home, and my father went out and worked. And see, people get offended when you say this. See, our community get real offended when you say this. We got too many single parents in the home. And the government already came in and did a conspiracy to get the man out the home. And now once the man out the home, the girls have put it in their mind they don't need a man in the home. But you need a man in your home to help rear your kids.
You know,
and people get offended when you... I wouldn't
be offended by that. I would just say that we have to be careful that we don't believe the enemy lies about us, because I was a single. No, I'm not even going to say I was single. I was divorced. Okay. And I had two children from my marriage, and I just knew she wasn't fit to raise those children. All right. Because of some of the reasons why I was divorcing her. So, anyway, I fought for custody for those children, and she ended up just giving them to me. You know, she could have just did that in the beginning instead of making me spend all that money on attorneys and stuff. But, she ended up giving them to me. So I'm not going to say I raised them by myself, because I certainly didn't. I had help from my mother. I had help from my sister. I had help from my family. And I actually live in a community that's made up of mostly a family. Anyway, second cousin, third cousin. So, you know, it's like, you know, going back in a time warp when we say, you know, you
but
didn't.
I don't mean to cut you off, but your value system, your mother and value systems are different. Think about it now.
Yeah, but what I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, this is what I'm saying, though. I would have never known when I started going to support groups for fathers, when I was being denied my temporary custody and pending getting custody of them, I didn't know that there were so many men that were being discriminated by the courts, where, you know, the mother of the child was denying them their even court ordered, you know, visitation rights and things of that nature. But then in terms of the black community, you know, it is a sensitive subject for me, because I knew many, many black fathers that were involved in their children's lives. And if they weren't, they were trying to be, and the mother was stopping them. But getting to statistical data, the Center for Disease Control did a father involvement study back in 2013. All right. I think it was published in 2013, in December of 2013. If you just do a Google search on CDC father involvement, and you will find that black men are more involved in their children's lives, and obviously along with the mothers, more than any other ethnic group or racial classification in this country. Hispanics came behind us, came second in father involvement, and white men were the worst. White men were the worst, but in terms of media propaganda, you would think the exact opposite was true. Because they will say, you know, black fathers always abandon their kids, but the statistical data shows the exact opposite. It's white men that's abandoning their children like that. And so I'm not trying to sit up here and say that problems don't exist in our community, because they certainly do. They certainly do. We got some deadbeats in my family, fathers in my family that, you know, I ain't gonna call their name out, but they know I have told them to their face that they ain't doing what they supposed to do, and you know, you need to quit making babies because you ain't taking care of the ones you got down here in South Carolina and you have more babies. Yeah, those people do exist, but it's not the rule. It's not really as many as we think it may be, is what I guess I'm trying to say.
Well, you know what, Scotty? I'm gonna do the Google. I am going to do that Google search,
mm-hmm.
just like you said.
Yeah, CDC.
And I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna look it up and see.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are right. Because I'm looking at the media. I must admit, I'm looking in at the media. But yet, too, I look around in my community, too.
Yeah, they do exist now. I'm not trying to say they don't. I got them in my family.
Mm-hmm. I have some in my family, too.
Yeah, and I got the female. I got the female in my family with five kids. And, you know, I'm not saying that because you said your friend had five kids. But I got a cousin, a second cousin, lives down the street from me. And she got five kids. And I think each and every last one of them got different daddies. But she's the only one that I know of that's like that, though. But they do exist.
And I want people to know, I want people to know we are not putting anybody down. We just talking, and we talking to our radio audience, and we hoping someone will be listening. And we just hoping that we could say something to make a change in somebody's life.
Most certainly.
Because and that's our goal is to make a change. And to bring people aware what's really going on in the community and different things that's going on around us that we don't know anything about. And you know what, Scotty? Something just hit my mind when I say we need to make people aware. I live in Goshen, Mississippi, and I'm 30 minutes from Mobile, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And they just passed a law. It just hit my mind. I forgot about it. They just passed a law in Alabama. And just like you say, Scotty, all these conspiracies. And they closed all these. It's about 10 or 15 places where you go get IDs and driver's license. And they closed these places in the black community.
You the second person to say that to me tonight. The Robin Benton on who was on Race Treaty right before you came on air said the same thing. I just heard about it. This is news to me.
Yeah, and see, it was on CNN, and I forgot about it. But like I said, I'm 30 minutes away from Mobile, Alabama. And President Obama warned that by a one. Over in those districts by a large, large margin. So the white devil, the people get offended when I say that, the white devil figured out a strategy to try to give the Republicans that particular section. Mm-hmm. And what they did, they went in all these black communities and closed all these places. And they closed them where you They can't go get no ID. Mm-hmm. They can't get anything.
They got voter ID voter ID requirements in it.
If they changed that, is yes, that's exactly
wow.
what they did.
Wow.
They changed it to voter ID, and they deliberately done this and closed this in these rural areas
where a lot of black people
got
live.
To drive in order to get an ID. They say some people got to drive over 300 miles or 200 miles way in order to get an ID. And this is something that we need to be talking about.
Yes.
A lot of people say, well, I don't vote, I don't do this, but we need to talk about this.
Yeah, I do want to let you know of your other regular panelist, Icy Hot, is on the line now.
Okay, let's key Isaac Hot in and leave our mic open. Is mic open yet?
Yes.
Isaac Hot, we are talking about the law that was passed in Alabama. And it was passed a few days ago, and Governor Bentley of Alabama immediately signed it into law, and they trying to say that it's not legal. They trying to take him to court to say it's not legal, and he closed all these places in these rural poor areas, and it's predominantly 99% black. And these people, you got to have an ID in order to vote, and he deliberately done this. And they said the Republicans, they had a lady, and they played the recording, and they was trying to figure out a strategy to how to win. And they had this white lady talking, and a Republican, and somebody secretly taped her. And she told them that was one of the ways that they could shut down the black vote, is to close all these offices where you go get ID. And that's exactly what they did. This is exactly what they did. They're trying to deny people of their right to vote in Alabama. And we need to go on Facebook, Twitter, and everything, and we need to start talking about it. And we need to let the people know what's going on. But the poverty, the southern
people
poverty law.
The right to vote.
Yeah, they're denying the people the right to vote. But the southern poverty Christian, the southern poverty law center have come in and filed a suit trying to stop it. Because he signed it immediately. And so we need to let people aware of this is what they are trying to do, everything, because they know they don't have the demographic of the people in order to hold on. So they're trying to restructure and come up with all types of crooked ways in order to hold on to power. And we got to let people know what's going on. And Icy Hot, before you got on, we was talking about, I'm going to tell you some of the things that we're talking about tonight. Since Ashir not on tonight,
yes.
Miss Hattie, where Icy Hattie and me is hosting tonight. I tried to send my co-host, Icy Hattie, a text. I hope you got it. And some of the topics we are talking about tonight, why do women love deadbeat men? Why do men want women with 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 kids? Why do women want men that won't work, who ain't trying to get a job, ain't looking for a job? Why would you want a man and you already got 5 or 6 kids and a man that don't work? Then we also talking about the man that killed his mother. And now I must say this, Scotty. The man that killed his mother, he had went overseas and came back. He didn't go over there where they was fighting at. He went to another foreign country. And they said after he came back from from overseas, he was never the same. But he killed his mother, Aishahat, beat her with a hammer, cut her heart out, and took it out of her chest. Then they said he took it, the police said, and placed it back in her chest. Then he turned around and masturbated on his mother's dead body. They asked him, why did he do that? And he said he had to relieve himself. He just needed some stress relief. Then we have another hot
topic.
Who
is this? Who is that person that did that now?
This is the latest son.
I know it's her son. What I'm asking you is, I'm not asking the right question. What city and state is this, and are these, what age is he? What?
Okay, they are black. Person. They black race. And I think he was about 32. I can't remember the exact state, and I can't pull it up. I wish that. Wish Black Rose was on to pull it up. I can't pull it up on my phone when I'm talking on it.
Okay, and, no problem.
Then we
I was just wondering.
And the other case, now I can tell you what this one was. This one happened in Ohio, where a black girl, she was 30 years old, working at a daycare, and she went in and pretended that she was a Muslim lady. She pretended that she was pregnant. You couldn't see nothing but her eyes. She had put on this veil. And she pretended that she was this 5-year-old little girl's mother and checked her out of school.
Oh, yeah, I know about that one.
You heard about that one?
Yeah.
And those are some of the things that we are talking about.
That occurred in California. The town, I think, is Monroe, California. The guy's name is Omar Pettigen. He's 31 years old.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you so much. Now,
what is your take on that? Why would you? Because they saying he went overseas and he came back from overseas. He was crazy. What do you think happened would drive a man to take his mother and whip her with a hammer?
I would say, where is the daddy at?
The daddy? Excellent question, Icy Hot. The daddy was out of town working, and the daddy said that him and the wife talk every night, and he said they pray together every night. This is what the paper said. The man said that he had been trying to get in touch with his wife the last 2 days, and he couldn't get in touch with her. So he had sent the police over to do a wellness check because he was out of town working. And the police said the door was open, and he said when he walked in, it was the most horrible sight he ever seen. He said because the guy was still there with the dead body. And from my understanding, I think the mother had been dead about 2 or 3 days. And then he told the police he beat her and killed her because she was fussing at him. And she had a gun. But to me, something is just not right. Why would you masturbate on your mother? You reckon the mother molested him as a child? And that's just a theory I'm saying. I'm not saying it's, no, I'm just saying, but if you go and look at the picture of his mother, now I know people may get offended when I say this. And if you can see that picture, Scotty, if you look at his mother, the mother to me is dressed just like a man. So something just, to me, just not quite right there. And, you know, people may get offended when I say that, but the mother looked just like a man, had a hat on like a man, dressed in man clothes, had a cane like a man. To me, something is just not right. That's just my opinion. But I just don't see.
There are usually signs when people are doing things that are going to be that bizarre, they're usually signs. They don't usually just be normal acting all the time, and then all of a sudden they just do something heinous like that, like Jeffrey Dahmer. As a child, there were signs for what was mounting ahead for his life, and people said it. So there are usually signs. I don't know any instances where there were not signs that this person could have a capacity to do something bizarre.
Mm-hmm. And also, and the young lady that took the baby out of the daycare and molested the baby, to me, that was the most craziest, bizarre thing I ever heard. And they also said she had been molested as a child. And I was telling Black Rose, what can we do in our community to try to help people who've been molested and who have mental illness behind it? People who have been molested by their father have a problem. And people get offended when you say that, but it's really true. There's a problem. What can we do? What do you think we can do in our community, Icy Hot, in order to what type of system care we could give them? Because you would take a child, out of the daycare where you work at, take this baby home and sexually assault her all night long with all different types of objects?
Well, I think one of the things is that we have to educate our children more and more in the community. So, in other words, don't ever leave the daycare with anybody except mommy. Don't ever leave with anybody. Don't ever talk to people, even if we know them, unless mama tells you that. Don't go anywhere with them. Those kinds of little tips and education of our children. Having pamphlets. Usually, if you're pretty savvy as a child, you can stay safer. And if you remember correctly, they have this one thing that the children says, and they tell them, stranger danger, stranger danger. And so that's one of them. But they also have to be taught, because statistically, as they are saying, and then the statistics say that, when children are harmed, it's usually not by a stranger. It's usually, it's oftentimes by someone that they know, that they trust, that have cared for them. Either close friends, family members.
And that's the most saddest part of all, because the children have so much trust. And that's the most horrible thing of all. It's just horrible. So you know what? Only thing I can say, as mothers and fathers, we have to be very alert. We have to watch over our babies, and we just have to keep a close eye on them. And be careful who we have around our precious quantity, and which is our kids that we love. So we just got to be very careful. And so, I just want people to know, be vigilant and vigilant and watch over your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews. Watch over them. Don't be so quick, women, to move men's in over your precious, precious, darling babies.
Well, I wouldn't even say don't be careful to move. Don't be so quick to move them in. Don't move them in, period. For the simple fact, if you're the man, you need to be the man, and you need to provide the household. You're starting out wrong, moving anybody in with you if you already have a home.
And that's the most saddest part of all. They and You absolutely correct, Icy Hot. But the most saddest part of all, they meet them and move them in and talking about they so in love with them and they don't have no job.
They may be in love, but I think it's probably they're in heat with them.
Yeah, okay, I would agree with that. I usually don't talk about these sort of issues on air. Not saying that there's anything wrong with it, but I think that's what it is. How can I say this in a proper way? When he laying that pipe right, you know what I'm saying? These women be losing their minds. So I think they have a lot to do with it, or low self-esteem or something. I don't know.
And you, and some women, Scotty, they act just like they can't live without a man. And it's so sad. And you're absolutely correct. Sex plays a great part in it. And Icy Hot is absolutely correct. That it's more lust than anything. They just so lustful. And I was telling someone the other day, and they thought I was crazy, when my first husband died, it was 3 years before I even thought about dating. This is the honest truth. It was 3 years before I ever really thought about dating. It took me 3 years. And I was a widow at 39 years old. And it took me 3 years to even try to even want to date. And I just see young women today, they self-esteem so low, they just act like they cannot be without a man. They got to have a man. Why do women have to have a man to validate them? Why do we think we have to have a man to validate us?
Society. Wider society, and it goes back to what we were talking about, media perception. You know, they say all these bad things about black men, and then turn out you do the research, it's not true. The media has a lot of power in dictating people's realities. And so they see, you know, their favorite celebrities and stuff on television, and they, you know, always got a man and dating somebody. And I mean, it's predicated. This society, I think, teaches women and men that, you know, you have no self-worth unless somebody else wants you. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah.
No, I think that's true. Go ahead.
I think that's true, that your self-worth lies in another individual is what the atmosphere and the media perception convey. However, any person that has a, some decent self-esteem and value who they are, how and what they are, then I think they don't buy into that. And then the bottom basic line, biologically, we are made to have mates. We're mammals. And so we should have a person, when we speak of a human being. All animals have a mate. And your mate is the comforting thing. And so it's natural to want a mate, but I think the people have perverted it in the media as far as sexuality. It's like, you know, the perversion started a long time ago, and I'm going to blame it on what's his name, Hugh Hefner, when he started his empire around selling sex. I mean, it's always been that way, but when you start attaching what you call this media presentation of it, either visual or print, then you're moving into another dimension.
Talking about Playboy.
So, Playboy, yeah. And so you've done this, and now sex is selling, and you pervert it and then try to make it into something natural.
Yeah.
In that way.
You're right, Miss Hattie. And then also, I thought about what you said, Miss Hattie. Like, we enjoy company, and it's no, we're not telling nobody not to have a mate. We ain't telling nobody not to have company, but we just, to me, the young girls just untuck it. I don't even know how to say it. It's just a scream. And you know, they just like one man. I mean, I'll tell you, like Scotty said, he has some in his family. Okay, like my grandson's mother, she moved out because one man, and I talked to her about it, she moved one man out because he was an alcoholic, and he was, he wasn't physically abusive, but he was abusive with the mouth, and he was an alcoholic. And she moved him out. She couldn't wait to move him out. Then she turns around. She moves out. I mean, y'all hear me good. I never seen. She was just always, I can't wait till I get him out. I want to be by myself. I can't take this. I'm just sick of the way he is. I can't take it. Then, a week later, what y'all think? There is another man already in the house. And this is
then
what
moved
I'm saying.
In? Moved in or just dating?
Yeah, he moved. No, he moved in. And he's there right now. You understand what I'm saying?
She this was probably seeing him while she was still, while the other guy was still in the house, don't you think?
Something had to be going on. But what I'm saying is, why would you, but you won't jump out of this one because this one it was drinking and abusive with his mouth. But
why are they letting men move in with them, period? Why are men moving in with them, period?
Because that's what we're saying. They're too lazy to go and get a job. Tell me what decent woman would want a man that don't have no job. Now, listen, don't get me wrong, women, and I don't want the black women, I don't want them to think that we telling them, you know, not to get a man or anything. That's not what we're saying. We just saying, don't be so quick to move. If you meet a man and if he's working at Burger King or McDonald's, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. A job is a job, but what I'm saying is if he want to come out of that situation and work his way up, it's fine. But don't get no one that don't have no job and ain't trying to do nothing, ain't trying to go nowhere. But what I'm saying, this girl went and got this one, and he don't have a job.
This one doesn't work, so she's willing to take
this one doesn't work either.
These men. Well, you should have a companion, but you could have a healthy companion. It's about healthy relationships. It's not about relationships that are strained because of financial difficulty or strained because the individual doesn't have a job and can't contribute anything. But I do have the compassion for the brothers because it's really hard, it's really difficult when you can't and you've been locked out of the economic system.
But you're trying, though. But you still need to be trying. I'm glad.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm glad
that's,
you said
that's
that.
Now, that's the key I'm talking about, Scotty.
Uh-huh.
Some of them just don't try.
Right. I haven't had a job. Well, I actually run a nonprofit now, but I don't even pay myself a salary. But I hustle. You know, I do whatever I have to do to bring money.
Everybody has to have a hustle, even if it's mowing lawns, shoveling snow, what do they call that where you go and work one temporary work?
Temp jobs, temp jobs.
Yeah.
But I hear
but
you.
You know what? You got a lot of black men who can make their own way and really good with their hands.
Right.
You know, a lot of them really good with their hands, but they refuse.
Well, they are good things with their hands, and they're using their hands in the way they want to use them. They laying hands.
We're gonna take a station identification break, and then we'll come back and we'll continue the conversation. Got Sister Delta on the line and Sister Icy Hot, and the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation is 641-715-3660. The participant code 549-032 pound, and then just hit *61 to comment on air. We'll be right back on the other side.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
And we're back, ladies.
Yes. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, I was listening at what Icy Hot was saying, laying on the hands. It's okay to lay on the hands and do what you do with your hands. There's nothing wrong with it. Only thing I'm saying is, brothers, let's try to do something, because I want people to know we got brothers in our community who knows how to go around and do a lot of things with their hands. You got a lot of handyman in the neighborhood. But what only thing I'm saying is, you can take whatever gift that you have and you can let it make money for you. It's up to you to push yourself, and it's up to you. Don't use too many excuses. And see, a lot of people want to use excuses, and it's time out for excuses, brothers. It's time for us. Okay, this been going on too long, brothers. It's time for us to do something, and that's all we're saying.
Let me ask you this: Do either one of you think that perhaps post-traumatic slavery has anything to do with some of this phenomena, for the simple fact that, you know, in chattel slavery, people were actually, you know, they were breeding human beings for the slave trade once they were here. And so some of that, many scholars believe, has impacted us as chattel slave descendants to still have some of those behaviors in our psyche, in our DNA, passed on from generation to generation, and maybe even some of the spiritual strongholds.
But how would you explain that the white deadbeats? Because let me tell you, there's plenty of them, and I know some people get tired of hearing about how many white folks I live around, because I'm telling you, I'm in one of the whitest counties in North Carolina. And the same stereotypes that people put out there about black people, I see them every day. I see them every day driving up and down the road, walking up and down the road. I hear them fussing over there in the trailer park and whatnot. And so I would have to say no to your question. Is I don't think post-traumatic slave syndrome has anything to do with it, because then how do you explain that in the other non-black you know, communities, that the same thing is going on? Yeah, I see the same thing going on. But I was going, and then
so that
also,
is, that hopelessness.
The hopelessness. Well, yes. I don't know. We're still living under conditions of slavery. Slavery was never abolished, so I hesitate whenever hear somebody say post-slavery. I'm like, no, slavery ain't no post. You know,
no, it's not post-slavery. Post-traumatic.
Yeah, but the trauma is ongoing, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm traumatized every time I read a headline about some black person being brutalized and murdered behind these enemy lines. That's traumatizing to me. And being that I work in media and I have a program of my own where I report news stories, and I mean, that wears on you after a while. And at times I feel hopeless, yeah, even though it's not happening to me personally or anyone I know personally, like my immediate family around here, but I still feel trauma because I know it could have been me. If I'd have been where that person was, it could have been me. But what I feel like it is, I mean, I feel like, I don't know. My personal thing was, is that I didn't even want to be with no woman. I ain't want no girlfriend or nothing. If I didn't have no money to put gas in my car to go pick her up and take her out and buy something to eat, pay for a way to in the movies or something like that, let alone I'm gonna move in with one and I ain't got no job and I ain't trying to do nothing.
Exactly.
That just come down to
but
a man having.
A lot of that is kind of age group wise too. What age group were you in? 30s?
No, 40s? No. I always have been this way. I have always been this way.
Okay.
I'll be embarrassed to be trying to go out with somebody and I couldn't do nothing for them.
And this is what I'm trying to tell Issa Hap. A lot of them not embarrassed. I have heard my son, my baby boy, tell a girl, if you can't take me out and buy me anything or wine and dine me, I don't want anything to do with you. You got to move on. And I just never in my life seen anything like this, because this boy daddy was a preacher. And this, I mean, he saw his daddy, I mean, was a father figure. He saw how his daddy took care of the family. He saw how his daddy worked. He saw how his daddy did his mother. And I'm telling you, these young folks today are different. And people may not believe it. They are different. And I do, Scotty, I must go back to something you said, and I thought about it. I really thought about it after you said it. TV really do plays a great role. And a lot of this rap music and these movie stars plays a lot of this stuff. Because I got a niece. She is so fascinated with the Atlanta housewife. And she tries to mimic this stuff on the Atlanta housewife. And this stuff is just not real. And young folks got to realize these folks are acting to make a dollar. This stuff is all that is not cut out to be. And I tell you another show I cannot stand. I ain't never watched it, but just hearing people talk about it. Empire. I have never watched it. And I'm not batching it. But just all this stuff. And see, they are feeding these young kids lies. They are feeding them lies. And every time we have a movie, it's got to be about supposed to be a hot movie. It's got to be about drugs, sex, and violence.
Or comedy, something stupid, something
uh-huh.
like or another roots, you know, black people being brutalized. They don't never show the black Africans that rebelled and cut Massa head off, but they definitely will show you plenty of movies by black people being on the other end of the stick.
And so that's all we're saying. And, you know, and this is our relationship line tonight. We like on Friday nights, we like to talk about relationships and things going on in relationships. And in order to have a good relationship, kids at home, people may not agree with this, but it's the truth. Kids at home have to see good role models between a man and a woman.
Let me say this. You just told us about your son who believes and tells women, I don't... you can't do this for me, that for me. which is like that pimp mentality.
Yeah.
But we know he didn't have no pimp situation. And so one of the things that Jawanza Kanjufu says, Dr. Kanjufu says, there used to be a time when the family was the first first influence, last influence, and Almighty God influence.
Mm-hmm.
But now in these modern times, it's not the family, it's peers,
mm-hmm.
it's media,
mm-hmm.
and only God knows what else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly not the family.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this child grew up in a very healthy home with a healthy relationship, look what he is developing and saying. And so I'm not saying that children don't need that. What I'm saying is there are, and I know many families, children grew up with a healthy relationship, mom and father at home, that are African American, and some white ones too. But guess what? The children did not model or take after them, and
mm-hmm.
they did all kinds of things, drugs, sex, and rock and roll, because that's what peers were doing, and that peer pressure causes them at a certain age to want to mm-hmm. do what they want to do.
I had to take something I said
cannot
back.
Influence them.
I had to take something. I was not all that way. I thought about it more, and When I was coming up, though, as a teenager, now, when I hit about 17, my senior year in high school, it was my junior year in high school. I was 17. I was kind of like your grandson, but it's not something that I set out to do. Older women, and I'm talking about women like in their 20s. Right, like this one woman I was dating, she was like 23. I was still in high school, and she and I met her at a club. You know, yeah, I was going in the clubs, didn't have no business in there, but I went to the club with some of my older friends and whatnot, and she just started buying me all kind of stuff. It was like a role reversal. She started pursuing me and asking me what I need and just giving me gifts and stuff like that. And then after her, it was a woman who worked at a Hardee's. She was in her 30s. And every time I would come in there, me and my friends would always stop by there when we would go swimming at the swimming pool up the street from that Hardee's. And every time I go in there, she would be giving us free food, but, you know, she would slip me her phone number. And I talked to her a few times on the phone, and she was talking about what she'll do for me and do to me and all this and that. And so, I mean, in the eyes of my friends, that was like I was the Mac Daddy. I was cool. Dang, man, look at Scott. Scotty got that girl buying him clothes, man. Look at that. And that was pumping my head up. But then, you
right,
know.
Right, that's that peer pressure,
yeah.
I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You got your peers looking at that and thinking this is really a cool deal here. But maybe your parents and your daddy has taught you, mom and dad said don't ever live with no woman, don't ever accept anything from a woman. And that's what most decent parents teach their children, that the man is supposed to be what he's supposed to be. And he never lets any woman drag him down the street or wherever, lead him anywhere. It's just like in Proverbs, it talks a lot about that. And that's what people teach their children. Oftentimes, even if they're not Christians, if they're just family people and they believe in a traditional kind of way of thinking about men and women relationships. And so that's what I'm saying is that even though you maybe didn't want to do that, the peers are looking at you, they're around you, and they see that as being cool. And that's you're influencing them by your accepting this. You're influencing them by this woman doing this. But those are just demons that you run into in the street, and that's what you have to know about. People have to know that kind of behavior is destructive to our community. And you have these women in the communities that do those kinds of things. I had a friend here, and she was telling me her little nephew, some women that were in their 30s were after him. And, you know, he's 17 years old, and pretty soon they pull him out of the home, and now they got him over there wherever they are. And, you know, you look up, and the child is gone. He's dropped out of school. can't do anything for himself the rest of his life. I actually saw two very well young black men that happened to them with white school teachers doing things to them, for them, and they eventually, you know, these were children, these were young boys that were bright, intelligent, straight A type students, and they destroyed their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do to turn it?
One of them was 60 years old.
But it was only with those two women, and I would say that was like a maybe within a year and a half period. But then I had ran into a young lady who was my own age. You know, I would say actually it did go on for about 3 years. I ain't gonna lie, it went on about 3 years with those two women. But then when I hit 20, no, when I was about 19, I had ran into a young lady who I had been strongly attracted to but lost touch with, and we hooked back up, and so we had a little place together, but I knew I still wasn't happy with that, and I knew it was something else I was supposed to be doing, and I didn't want to be stuck in this little mill town and never ever, you know, go out and see the world. And then that's when I ended up joining the military. And then after I joined the military, you know, I had my own money, and well, I always had my own money, but you know, I just wasn't looking to exploit any kind of women and or anything like that.
Why is that?
I don't know. Possibly maturity. I was becoming more mature, or I was returning back to what I seen other men in my life, you know, do, where, you know, the man was the man, and he was the one who, you know, took care of everything for the lady. So
but see, what I'm saying is, though, think about it. We got a lot of young girls who are young boys, and their mother is no man in the home to really mentor them and show them how to really be a man. And that's the saddest part of all.
They're men.
Then we got some young ladies reaching out, and they just going buck wild, and I guess because they looking for something. What are they looking for? What are they longing for? Love?
That's right. The companionship.
Are they longing to be accepted? What is it? What are they longing for? And the reason I'm talking this away tonight, because it's so many young folks that I see this away. And then the young girls, they only way they think they can get a man is all their breasts have to be hanging out. Then they have to have a miniskirt on up to their behind. And if they sneeze, all their behind a show.
Well, that goes again to that media influence. That goes to that media influence on fashion and whatnot. You know, they all their favorite rappers or singers and whatnot is dressing that way, and they see, you know, they get a lot of attention, and they like, well, I want that attention too, so all I gotta do is dress like Beyonce or dress like Nicki Minaj, and then I'll get all that attention from the boys just like they do. I'm not saying that's the sole cause, but I think that plays a role in it.
Yeah, it does play a role. And I want young people to know, if any young folks on tonight listening, and we want them to know, you know, it's more to life and, you know, and just being loose. And it's more to life and dressing any kind of way. It's more to life than that. And I wish that we can help them find themselves. And that's the main thing, if they can find themselves. And we can steer them on the right track. We need more mentors in the black community. And the sad part is,
we can't even go to the black churches and try to get mentors. We really can't, because half of the ladies up in there, the older ladies, they want the younger boys. It's just sad. And the older men in the church want the young girls. So the role's just reversing. So we got to figure out a way in our community. What can we do? What can I do to make my community better? What can I do to try to make my community better? And that's something we need to, as a race of people, that we need to think about. And then another thing, people may get offended when I say this. I hate to see young men of color date out of their race. This is my opinion. This is Delta's opinion. I just hate to see young men of color date out of their race. And I think they should stay in their race. And I just hate to see them do that. What do you know, the black, you, to me, you're saying the black girls are not worthy. You know, they're not worthy to be dated. And then the first thing a black man do when he gets some money, playing ball or whatever, he goes and put a bleach blonde on his arm. And I believe, Scotty, that's from the TV. Now that I really believe. Because they want you to think blonde hair, blue eyes is pretty. And dark skin and coarse hair, you're not pretty. And all that's coming from the TV.
And some of it's coming from us as a people when we talk about, oh, so-and-so has good hair, da-da-da. Well, what's good hair? What does that mean? All hair is good. God gave you that hair. You got your hair.
Now, see, that's something my family, we all different colors in our family. And that's something we never really been stuck on colors. And that's where a lot of that come from, too. In our community, we go to talking about the hair, the nose. We're not pretty enough. Because my little grandson made a comment to me, and my little grandson made this comment to me about 3 weeks ago. And this child ain't but 7 years old. And we was driving down the road. And my grandson told me, out of the blue, that he wanted to be mixed, and I wanted to make sure I understood what he was saying to me. And he told me I want to be mixed. And I said, what you mean? And I wanted to make sure he was understand what he was saying. He told me he wanted to be black and white.
That's
where is that coming from, a 7 year old thinking that he wants to be black or white?
A system of racism, white supremacy that he's very perceptive about. He may not know it as racism and white supremacy, but he's seeing that lighter skin, perhaps black people, other mixed children, he's just picking up on that, and he's thinking that, you know, he will get that attention or he'll be better treated. I'm not saying he's being mistreated, but, you know, that he will find favor if he looked like them, you know. So it's just that system of racism and white supremacy and the psychological damage that it does to us all.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct on that one, because that one there floored me. To me, that one caught me off guard there.
We do have a caller.
Down the,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We do have a caller. They've been hanging on. Area code 713. Your line is open. If you want to join the conversation, do so at any time.
Yeah, this is Black Rose. I just want to say thank you, Delta. And I heard what you said about your son, and it's so ironic that you would mention that about your son, Delta, because my cousin, my second cousin, actually, and she's about the same age as your grandson. She mentioned the same, well, my aunt told me that she mentioned the same thing that, well, not exactly the same thing, but she prefers to hang around the white side of our family, because I do have a uncle that married a white lady. And so the daughter, her daughter's daughter, prefers to hang around the white side of the family. And so it is something that's going on with these children, whereas, like you mentioned, Scotty, it's the system of white supremacy and racism. These children may not be able to fully and completely articulate why they're feeling that way, but they feel it. They feel this sense that black people are mistreated and white people are treated in a different way. They have white privilege. And the children, they notice this. They see what we're going through. They see that this is black people being arbitrarily shot down, and they see this, and it's I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a survival technique or what, you know, feeling like, oh, well, I just want to be white, you know, so that they won't have to continue suffering the way we suffer. But what they need to realize is, and it's something that people may need to like study, it's a thing called the tragic mulatto that a lot of mulatto women used to experience during the slavery era. They would often commit suicide because although they were viewed as so beautiful because they were, you know, black and white, but they still suffered harshly based on what was going on, because they were desired by people, but then they were also brutalized and victimized. So, I mean, that's a thing to have that they need to also know about and think about. It's not all peaches and cream being white. It's not as beautiful as this fake perception is. It's not as perceived, you know. And I think that's something that we really need to share with our children and educate them on. You know, we are beautiful people. Whoever, however you are, we are beautiful people because we are human beings. But being black is beautiful. Black is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And if we stop putting these perms in these children's heads when they're early and tell them that they're beautiful, whether they're light-skinned, dark-skinned, brown-skinned, or whatever, then they'll grow up and start feeling a little bit better about themselves, perhaps. You know, when we start putting these perms in these little girls' hair, and then, like, I watched my friend last weekend perming her daughter's hair, and when she finished, she said, oh, you're going to be beautiful. So that is marinating in that child. Okay, now that I got these edges straight now I'm beautiful. Because before my edges weren't straight, I wasn't beautiful. And we need to realize the psychological effect and damage that is causing on our children when we sit there and put that perm in their hair and then tell them, okay, now you're beautiful. Because before, when your hair was kinky, you was ugly. Basically, that's what we're telling them. So, yeah, I can see why the children saying, I want to be white.
Yeah, I would like to recommend a book. I bought this book for my youngest daughter. She just turned 18, not that earlier this year. But she lived with her mother. It's not the two that I had from my ex-wife, but, you know, she was born later with a different woman. And she grew up in her mother's household, and her mother had a low self-esteem because she's dark-skinned. She will be considered, you know, a real dark-skinned person. But to me, she was beautiful and whatnot. But she had that low self-esteem, which came from her grandmother, who used to mistreat her because her other two sisters were light-skinned. And so, you know, she was being mistreated by her own grandmother. And so she would be putting in contacts, you know, the different colored contacts and putting the different color weave in her head. And I tried to break her from that and let her know, why are you doing all this? You beautiful. You know, I wouldn't be with you because, you know, I think I'm a pretty good judge of beauty. And so, you know, if I felt like you was an ugly person, person, and I wouldn't be with you. And so, but then, you know, we broke up, but I noticed that my daughter was picking up on that too. Now, my daughter's light skin, but she still don't feel like my daughter has some of the most beautiful, softest, natural hair, and it will grow long too, just like my hair will grow long. But for some reason, maybe she get it from her mother, maybe she get it from, you know, her peers or whatnot, but she ruins her hair with all of this weave. And then she puts in the blue contacts and stuff like that. So I bought her this book, The Beauty Kind Game, which was published by Trojan Horse Publishing. So if you just look that up, the Beauty Kind Game, and I bought her that book, and she still will wear them different color weaves and stuff like that, but I don't see her wearing them contacts no more and whatnot. So I'm just hoping, you know, that she'll come out of that false beauty, having this false beauty standard that white supremacy has set for the world. And so, yeah, I just mm-hmm. wanted to share that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I saw this girl the other day. She had some cotton candy color blue hair in her head. And
well, you know they're wearing the hair pink. Even the white women are wearing it. They're wearing the pink, blue, red, strawberry, orange.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new thing going on. But I'd like to ask another question. Let's get y'all take on this tonight. There was, now y'all know, they always posting it on Facebook. There was a young man at Walmart. He was with his mother and father. And it's on my Facebook page. And the young man looked like he's about 12 years old. And he was so furious with his mother, and he's a white kid. And see, and this is what a lot of our kids see this too. He was so furious with his mother and father because they wouldn't let him buy anything in the store. Because that's what he was screaming on the video, saying, you wouldn't let me get anything. This boy touched the buggy that you push with the product in it and almost literally ran his mother over. And he told his daddy, tried to make him stop. The father grabbed hold to the bucket, the buggy, and the young man told his father, "You MF mother, you let it go right now. You mother this, you mother that. I mean, just all type of horrible stuff in the store." And somebody filmed it and put it on Facebook. Do you think that we should have knocked him out in the store? The father was saying, wait till, he was basically trying to tell the son to wait till he get home, you know. But me as a parent and as a grandmother, I would have slapped him down right in the store and waited for the police.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Delta, you know, like they used to say when we was coming up, what they used to say, where you cut up is where you get messed up. And that's how it was when we were growing up. Where you cut up, that's where you get messed up. If you cut up when we were in the store, then that's where they took you over to the side or whatever and they spanked you or looked at you. But see, our parents back then, they didn't even have to go that far. All they had to do was just look at us. All my mom had to do was look at me. My mom could probably count on her fingers how many times she had to spank me. My dad never had to spank me. My mom, she, like I said, she rarely had to discipline me because all they had to do back then was look at us because we knew these are the people that feed me, these are the people that clothe me, these are the people that house me, and I better act right with these people because I don't have anybody else. You know, I tried to run away one time and go over to my grandmother's house. Yeah, of course my grandmother welcomed me. But my mom was like, you know, what you think you're doing? You gonna go over there and stay over there with your grandmother? You better bring your butt back home. She let me stay over there for the weekend or whatever it was. But I knew I had to come back home. You know, so I don't understand this whole deal with these children being mad. I have several young cousins that call themselves being mad at the adults in the family when we try to tell them that they're doing something inappropriate or improper. And they just don't want to hear it, no matter how you try to tell them. They just don't want to hear it. These children these days, I don't know what it is, and I've always said that it's not bad children, it's bad parents. I just don't really know what it is these days, because these children, they are of a different breed. I don't know if it's just the parents or if it's just the children and the food and the stuff that's in the environment or what, but these children these days, they are completely different. They have no respect. Some of them have no respect, and no matter what you tell them, they don't care, and they just don't get it. But yes, what you said, Delta, I would have took care of him right there in the store and handled that. I would have handled that right then and there. But see, the thing about it is, like they used to say back in the day, you can't wait till a child becomes 10 and 11, 13, 14, and then try to discipline them. You have to discipline them early.
Right.
I remember when my aunt had children, when they were 2 years of age and they used to pull all of their toys out of the toy box, she used to make them put them back up. And I said, Tammy, you can't make those children put those toys back up like that. She said, if they know how to pull them out, they know how to put them back.
That's right. That's right. And like,
yes,
my grandsons, I will, and it's, I hate to put it this way, but I can't think, it's just like training a dog or anything. I'm not calling children dogs,
mm-hmm,
or anything, but
when
they are that young, you know,
mm-hmm,
children can do things and hurt themselves, and you can talk to them and they just don't get it. But then I pull out my,
mm-hmm,
little ruler and I say, hold your little hand out, and I pop that little hand. Then that's like, you know, I know there's a word for that, but I'm not beating them though. Some people go overboard and they beat the crap out of these children, and I don't know, maybe that's why, you know, children grow up to cut their parents' hearts out and do crazy stuff to their dead bodies. But we live in a different time now though. I was going to say, you have to be careful what you do in public with your children, because nowadays people will call the police on you, and then next thing you know, your kids is in a foster system. And then they being abused in the foster system. And see, that's what them kids don't know today, is they think they got it bad at home, but wait till you get snatched up and put in one of these foster homes where a lot of kids are being abused in them foster homes. So you have to be careful about, you know, public disciplining your children in public, because people will call the police, and then here comes social service, and they don't really care about them,
mm-hmm,
children. They don't care.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Well, I would like to ask Black Rose a question, because she wasn't online when,
mm-hmm,
we were talking. And Black Rose, we was talking about tonight, and I would like for your take on it, because I know you're a career woman just like Icy Hot. Will you,
Sister Delta, you're coming in real low.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes. There we go.
Okay. Black Rose, I was asking a question, and the question was, I know, like I was saying, I know you're an educated woman. I know Icy Hot is an educated person. So I'm saying, will you date a man have a minimum job, who's trying to do something, who's trying to, like, come around and do something with itself? And I know we have women today or dating men who don't have a job, and women are so in love with deadbeat men. So what,
mm-hmm,
what is your take on that? Would you date a man who had a minimum job, a minimum wage job, if you think he's trying to batter himself or move up a little bit?
Yeah, I would. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Else just like some of the women that are just taking them as they are, with no job, no nothing. What is your take on that?
Well, no, I can't date you if you don't have a job, because I get up and I work. I work plenty of jobs. I'm like half Jamaican, because I have.
Uh-oh, did we lose?
Hello?
Yeah, we lost Black Rose. Her line dropped off. I'm sure she'll call back in. Let me see.
Yeah, and this is...
I think we also lost Sister Delta.
No, I'm on.
Oh, okay.
I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. Okay, I think... Okay, we got... Sister Black Rose, that you? We got you back.
I'm back.
Okay.
Yes, I'm back.
Is it hot still on?
Yes. I'm sure... Yes, she's still on.
Okay. Go ahead, Black Rose.
Hey, is it hot? But like I was saying, yeah, I'm like a Jamaican. I have about 15 different jobs, and I'm working here now. So, no, you can't just have not one job. You need to be trying to work on something. I will date a man, say, for instance, if he's, I'm not going to say I'll date him if he's working at Burger King, because I'm not going to lie. I like to do a lot of little different things. I like to travel, go to concerts, and go out to dinner and things like that. So I can't pay for all of it by myself all the time. So, excuse me, you need to have some type of income coming in, because I like to do things. I'm a woman. So, but with that said, I will work with you if you have a plan, because I'm great with helping people with ideas. That's one of my gifts. I can help you with your gifts. If you have a gift, you let me know what you're trying to do. I can help you work on that. I can help you reach that goal. That's one of my gifts that God has given me. So I will work with you on that to develop that goal. But if you don't have a goal, I can't work with you, because you got to have some kind of goal. Everybody is not going to have, you know, this certain income that you want. So, you know, you have to kind of work with people. But at the same time, you know, you can't just sit here and waste time with people that don't want to try to do anything, don't want to try to have anything. I can't be with anybody like that, because then you are a liability. And I don't need a liability.
Uh-oh, she dropped off again. Something's going on with the lines tonight.
Well, I can agree with her, Scotty. I can agree with her, what she's saying about, you know, they are a liability. But if he feel like that he's trying to do something with himself, work himself up, I feel like I can work with you. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
In order for me to work with you. And the problem is, if you ain't got no plan and you ain't got no goal, you ain't going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything has a goal line. And what I mean a goal line is, when you run a race, it's an end down there, and they got a tape across it. And you know, in order to get to that finish line, you got to run down there and break through that piece of tape they got down there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you trying to, I'm trying to use a parable, and if you trying to go somewhere, and I see you trying to go somewhere, and we set a goal, and that goal is that you got to be at this certain line by a certain time. Now, I'm going to stick by your side, and I'm going to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't break through that finish line, I can't keep us sitting at the starting block and never left the block.
Right. I understand that sentiment. I understand that sentiment, but also at the same time, as a black man, I understand the challenges that we have under this system. It's always targeting us, especially if you get tagged with that felon label. It can get really hard. It can get really depressing and whatnot, but you know, again, that's still no excuse. You should still be trying to do something with your life. You know, you run up against a roadblock, well, you either go under it, go over it, or go around it. You can't never just give up. You can't give up and just...
You absolutely correct. I know I have my baby boy. He has a felony.
And my baby boy, he is so gifted. And this is what I tell him. You hold the key to your success. You hold it. The felony don't hold you. And the reason I say the felony don't hold him, let me explain it. It's because he can take a vent. If you take a car, and I did not know he could do this. His girlfriend raped her car, and the bumper was all bent up, and the front side where the light was all bent up.
Mm-hmm.
That boy took that bumper off, put a new bumper on it, took that vent out of that car. I asked the girl, I did not know my son did this. I asked her, I said, did you take your car to the shop? She said, no, Steve did it. Now, that's one talent right there. I knew he put radios and speakers in cars. I knew he did that. And this how truly I knew how good he was. One day I went by his house. A man had a Hummer, and we all know how much a Hummer costs.
Mm-hmm.
And he was putting a set of speakers all the way through this man's brand new Hummer.
See, I'm talking about he got a hustle. He got a hustle. He hustled.
That is correct. That is what I'm saying. And what I'm trying to instill in my son, you can do all that. And it's something else he do. And he detail cars. I told him, start your own business.
Right. Right.
You can start your own.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is, he get with these women, and he don't act like he gets stuck in this rut with these women.
How old is he?
31.
Mm-hmm.
31. And so what I'm saying is, and the reason I talk the way I do is because how you say some things you see in your family, Scotty, some things I see in mine.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to want to do better. You got people who will push you and help you do better.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to help yourself.
Right, right. Now, on the flip side of that, to be honest, I would apply the same standard to a man to a woman, because I ain't trying to be that. I might have been
correct.
Yeah, I might have been in my younger days when I was like in my 20s and stuff like that, and even in my 30s. I'm in my 40s now, on the other side of 50. But in my younger days, I might have been willing to be the sole breadwinner, and you just stay at home and clean the house and take care of the kids and stuff like that. But nowadays, I'm new. No, you got to be trying to do something yourself. You know what I'm saying? The same thing, requirements that y'all were saying about, you know, these women should not be putting up with these deadbeat, you know, men and whatnot. There are a lot of deadbeat women out there that are just trying to spend up a brother's money. And I ain't falling for it. I ain't going for it. And I've seen brothers that, you know, these women take advantage of them. Just had them spending their whole paycheck on the woman, and then you can't even pay your bills. You know what I'm saying? And so, women will take advantage of men in that respect too. So I just say, you know, for people out there, you want to look at somebody you compatible with and who's trying to have something in life just like you trying to have something in life, because nowadays it take two. It don't take just one income. It take two. You know, for people to make a halfway decent life for themselves. We do got a caller, area code 585. Your mic is open. Please join the conversation anytime you feel like it.
This is Black Rose again. I had to call from my iPad because my phone went out. But, Scotty, I just have to echo exactly what you just said, because there are some deadbeat women out here, too, that's not trying to do anything. And I don't blame these men. Like you said, Scotty, so if I was a man, I wouldn't be with some woman. You don't have anything. You got all these children. You're not working. And you just want some man to take care of you. No, it's not like that anymore. And, you know, like I was saying, I don't know when my phone went out. I was just talking away and realized that my phone was dead. So I don't know if you all heard what I was saying. But, no, you have to have someone that's trying to have something, trying to do something. Today we have the internet. I mean, there's a service. I signed up for this service called Rover, where you can dog sit dogs. I have two dogs. Everybody know I have two dogs. They're always barking. And so, like, on the weekends or whatever, in the evening time, I can dog sit a dog. And, you set your own prices for that. So that, I said all of that to say there are too many ways now for people to make money. There's no reason for you to sit up here and not have any money at all. I mean, you know, we have to do things. We have to be creative. And come up with different ideas in terms of making money, because nobody's giving you any jobs anymore. It used to be a time you could walk down the street and find a job. It used to be a time you didn't have to work and find and still make money. I mean, you know, I used to do that all the time. I was always in and out of a job. I've never been one to held down a job for more than 2 years. So, you know, we have to be creative in terms of bringing in income. And I've always been creative in terms of bringing in income. And so, no, I agree with you, Scotty. I agree with you, Delta. People need to get up off their butts and stop being so darn lazy. And, you know, I know that times are hard out here and jobs are scarce. That's why we have to try to do what we have to do. And I'm not getting ready to be with no man that's not out here doing something. You got to bring something to the table. Like my daddy told me, you as a woman need to have something to bring to the table, and that man damn sure need to have something to bring to the table. So that's how I feel about it. Both people need to have something to offer, and it can't just be your genitalia, because you can get that anywhere.
And see, and that is the problem with the young girls. They choose genitalia. They love a free ride. And they want to get up there, and they want the guy to do what he need to do for 3 or 4 minutes or 5 minutes of pleasure. But after all that's over, what do you got? You have nothing but a wet tail. You ain't got nothing.
And we don't have any soap in the towel to wash up afterwards. You know, so that does not work. That does not work at all. You can't, young girl, you can't do that. You cannot do that. And man, you don't stop just laying down with these girls just to be laying down with them, because next thing you know, then they're pregnant. Then you're in a world of trouble. Like I try to mention to these young children, don't sit up there and go out here and have all of these children, and then you can't live your life and travel and explore and experience life, because you got to sit here now and donate all your money and time to your children while you're young. I'm so glad that when I was in my 20s, I was able to do everything that I wanted to do. If somebody called me on a Monday and told me, Tuesday, do you want to go to New York? I could book me a flight and I can go. I'm so glad that I lived that life, you know, where I could do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And I don't think these young children get that. You know, it's so much out here to see. It's so much more than what I used to call your five radius. You know, five streets up from you, five streets to the back, and five streets to the left and right. That's the expanse of some people's existence. They don't even leave out of their neighborhood. I can even say, like, here in Houston, Texas, where I live, you have people right here in Houston. Houston is so big, you know, it's the fourth largest city. I know people that live in one quadrant, like, say, the northeast quadrant of Houston, and they won't even come on the southwest side. If you tell them, hey, come meet me over here, they have no idea how to navigate around the southeast side, southwest side, because they don't leave out of their neighborhood. They stay right in their neighborhood. And so, you know, people need to learn how to get out and explore. Get yourself together. Live your life. Enjoy life, because you never know. Tomorrow could be your very last day. This next minute could be your very last day. So I would say, if I could say anything, live your life, do all that you can do, explore, get educated, and educate. When I say get educated, I'm not saying sit in a school. You can get educated by sitting, listening to some wise people, and travel, read, take yourself to a different place just by reading. Just do things differently. If what you're doing is not working for you, then guess what? Try something completely different from what you've been doing.
You're absolutely correct. And we need to, our time run out on us. We need to read our Women's United Statement. So if you have it, Black Rose or Icy Hot have it, we have 5 minutes and we need to read our statement.
Well, I don't have it. Is Icy Hot available?
Icy Hot? No, she must be stepped away from the mic.
Well, I can definitely make a statement. I can just say this. In terms of the attacks against Black women like Rekia Boyd, Ayanna Jones, Stanley Jones, Sandra Bland, the ladies, many of the ladies that were killed in jail recently, to people like Asada Shakur that were attacked, I can just say this. We despise those attacks. We are organizing against those attacks, and we ask that all women across the country and across the world join in with Women United and all of us as women to organize against these attacks and come together to uplift our sisters and strive so that we can raise our children to be better children, and we can instill in our children certain values that will make them feel worthy, so that they will not go out here and continue to go out here in life just wondering and not knowing what to do in life. So I would just implore everyone just to lift your head up, stand up high, stand up tall, and live your life and do what's right. Make a difference. Make a change. Do what you need to do in order to...
And I also... Thank you, Black Rose. And I also want to get this out because I know time pushing. And we also... Okay. The Million Man March. And I think
yes.
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
It is tomorrow. And we need to be... if anybody going... someone who's going, please call in and let us know how it went.
I will actually be trying to broadcast it live on Black Talk Radio Network's digital radio stream. I'm working on trying to make that happen tomorrow. I also heard that they will be streaming over the internet. So if I find that information, I'll post it to blacktalkradionetwork.com as well. But I'm trying to do the stream, live stream it tomorrow on the radio station.
Oh, that would be great. I'll definitely tune in because I'm going to look for a live stream. They should have a live stream on the live stream app. You should be able to find it on there. And I'm sure the final call should have a live stream app on the web page, maybe. It seems like they would. I mean, I don't see why not. So I definitely look forward to that. And to all the men that are traveling to D.C., have a scholarship and represent. And women.
Well, you know they'll probably have something on TV. You know that.
I'll be on C-SPAN.
You can watch it on, give me just a moment. I think you can watch it at justiceorelse.com. Yes, you will be able to watch it live on justiceorelse.com.
Justiceorelse.com. Scotty, do you know what time that's going to start streaming?
Let me see. It doesn't say, but one of my media partners was telling me, I think it starts at 10 a.m. Let me.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. 10 a.m. I think I did see something about the march starting at 10 a.m. So I'm definitely supporting the brothers that'll be out there.
Sisters
and,
too.
You know, I know people. Again, and the sisters too. I was trying to go. I just couldn't make it this year. But I know people have their reservations about the Million Man March and Farrakhan and all that. But you know, I'm supporting it. I think that you know, it's a good thing. Anytime when we can have our people coming together, trying to do something different, I support that. Different in terms that will uplift us and empower us. I'm for that.
I have confirmed 10 a.m. 10 a.m. is when it starts. So you can go to justiceorelse.com and you can also check blacktalkradionetwork.com, as I probably will be able to stream that out over the station as well. If you don't have access to a computer at the time, you can get the TuneIn app for your smartphones and whatnot, and you can try it that way. So yeah, I'm gonna support it. I didn't go, didn't plan on going. I would rather do something here locally, but you know, it's happening, and we need to support our brothers and sisters, and definitely keep them in your prayers, because you know that they are, that we are behind enemy lines, and they don't want to see us coming together, and you know, they may try to do anything to our people up there.
Well, I'm praying that they have a good trip. I know it's going to be good. I know they're going to have some pretty enlightening things, and I know Farrakhan going to give a good speech. Is it just going to be for one day only, or 2 days, or how is it?
From what I understand, it's just for Saturday, but again, if people check out justiceorelse.com, they can find out more information right there.
And like we said, we need to support. We need to support. We need to support.
Yes, and we invite people to call in Sunday night at 9 p.m. to tell us about your trip to the Million Man March. So you can call in and tell us what were some of your takeaways from the Million Man March anniversary gathering 2015. We look forward to hearing that on Sunday night on Black Talk Radio Network.
And I also like to thank Scotty and thank Black Rose for giving me an opportunity to host tonight. And I hope I said something. And I hope we had some good topics tonight. And I hope we informed you the best we could. Thank you.
Thank you. Signing off. Thank you. All right. Peace and good night. Thank you.